It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Let's get to it, ladies and gentlemen. Just like that, hour number two hath arrived. Welcome back, friends, to the Rob Brown Show on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lodzo, with you on a lovely Upstate Thursday morning. It's still morning time. Get over. Listen, we got a long day. We got a long, long, long day ahead of us.
You mean you have a long day?
I have a long day ahead of me. That is correct. I get to go today. Great one. To body shop appointment number four to find out who can fix the vehicle the quickliest and the least expensivest. That's going to be good. Also, hosting You Better You Bet this afternoon on the BetQL Network from 3 to 7 p.m. And then we cap it off this evening with a few more, and this time, final NFL preseason games. The Indianapolis Colts in Cincinnati, Ohio, to take on Joey B and his Bengals tonight. And Caleb Williams, but not... will be in Kansas City while his team takes on and is hosted by the Kansas City Chiefs and not Patrick Mahomes. Neither team trotting out their starters when the Bears and the Chiefs play this evening.
Hoping to see Carson Wentz throw behind his back tonight. I mean, you know, why not?
So my favorite story is days after Patrick Mahomes throws a behind the back completed, and not like a terrible one, not like a wing and a prayer.
It was kind of low, but it was Travis Kelce.
It was low, so, but my man was also sprinting to the right. I want you to know I came very close the other day between shows, and I may still do this, although it's not as timely now, but I came very close the other day to going out in the backyard with a football, putting some sort of a target on the big tree that is out in the backyard at the Casa de Love. We got like this big old oak tree that's been out, oak tree that's out there. I've come very close, and I might still do it. We'll see. To putting a target on that tree, running in front of it, and throwing a behind-the-back pass just to see, like, can I hit it 5 out of 10 times in a catchable distance? You know what I mean? Like, I think I may take the camera out there and make a short social media vid out of it. Because I think all of us that have ever played catch with a football before, we've all done it, right? We've all done it standing still, winging it behind your back, trying to get that perfect angled spiral to whoever you're playing catch with. We've all done that. Only one of us that I'm aware of has ever done it full speed in an NFL game. And that, of course, is Patrick Mahomes. But here's my favorite story of the week. My favorite story of the week is as we move ever closer to the 2028 Olympic Summer Games hosted in Los Angeles, California, flag football has been added to the 2028 Summer Games. That's one of the things the Olympics have been doing the last handful of games is they take on, in terms of the games played, you have all the traditional games, but they also take on kind of a unique flair of the country that is hosting for that Olympic Summer Games. In this case, in 2028, the LA Summer Games will have a distinctly LA and American flair, which of course includes bringing back baseball and softball, as well as adding flag football. Well, Team USA has an Olympic flag football team. All right, we have an official flag football team. However, there's a lot of NFL players, including Joey Burrow, by the way, who have been campaigning to represent Team USA at the 2028 Olympic Summer Games in the flag football capacity. Well, as I think you can understand, and we'll talk about this later in the show, as you can understand, the guys that are on the current USA flag football team are a little bit upset, right? Because they've been playing flag football for however long international flag footy has been a thing. They want to represent Team USA in the Summer Olympics of 2028, not get pushed out by the NFL players. Well, there is a campaign going right now, great one, to get Patrick Mahomes as the official quarterback for Team USA flag football in the 2028 Olympic Summer Games, right? Well, 35-year-old Darnell Doucette is the current quarterback for Team USA International Flag Football. He was on a pod yesterday with TMZ, and he said, quote, "I feel like I'm better than Patrick Mahomes because of my IQ of the game. I know he's right now the best in the NFL. I know he's more accurate. I know he has all these intangibles. But when it comes to flag football, I feel like I know more than him," end quote. And then my favorite thing he said, because I immediately thought about you, great one. In another interview published by The Guardian last week, Doucette said that he feels it is, quote, disrespectful, end quote, for the flag football community to automatically assume that NFL players would be the correct representation of Team USA when the sport makes its Olympic debut at the 2028 LA Summer Games. Lonzo, even when the Chiefs are involved, not in the NFL, there's still the disrespect word getting tossed around.
Absolutely. And here's the thing. I get why dude doesn't want NFL players in there. It sounds like an inferiority complex. I don't think it's necessarily he's worried that they're going to take his spot because of popularity. And, you know, more field knowledge in flag football, maybe. Maybe he has that right now. But I haven't watched Darnell play. I'm guessing either Joe Burrow or Patrick Mahomes would be picked easily over Darnell. Just saying.
Look, let's call it what it is. I absolutely think there should be tryouts. I think Doucette should be able to get out there and compete to earn the starting quarterback nod, just like if Joey B or Patty M or whoever else wants in, they should have to go out there and prove, because it is a different game. It is a different game.
Is it, though? You're still throwing and catching. Trying to get someone to not take your flag. I get that part. But the basics of the game are still the same.
I spent, Lonzo, 4 years as a wide receiver and a middle linebacker for my fraternity college flag football team in the highest level of combat. It is the only sport that in intramural fraternity league athletics at my school, it is the only sport that we were in the top division of, all right? Where I went to school, we had multiple divisions. There was like the big frats, then there were the middle frats, then there were like the frats that had like 10 dudes in them, and there were different divisions of athletics. The only sport that we were in the top tier division in, because we were a bunch of geeks, nerds, and former glory athletes, was flag football. As somebody who played both, neither at a high level, but played both, yes, at its core, the fundamentals are the same, throw, catch, whatever, but it is a different game than tackle football, and there is a different skill set involved. But I'm saying, open tryouts. Let my man Darnell Doucette go out there, and if he, listen, straight up, just like I said about Diana Taurasi on the women's side, Jason Tatum on the men's side, at the end of the day, the only thing that I care about is that we send the best possible team. If my guy goes out there and we have open tryouts and Darnell Doucette outperforms Patrick Mahomes, then hell yeah, send his ass. For sure. I want the best to go, but I also understand where he's coming from. I don't think it's inferiority complex. Imagine spending years of your life getting really good at something, thinking your time has finally come, your opportunity is finally there for you to reach out, carpe diem, seize this moment, and then at the last minute, the people in charge go, actually, we're going to give it to that guy instead. It's happened to me. I spent years getting ready to host a show on a station I worked for down in Destin, only for 2 days before the start of the show I was supposed to host, I got called to the office and told, actually, we're going to bring in another guy to host. You're going to keep producing on that show. I was devastated. I get it from my man Darnell. But at the end of the day, just like that host, it was all about making sure the ratings were as good as possible and they believed he could do a better job. If you get beat by Patty M or Joey B or whoever else, man, I'm sending the best I can send, because the last thing I want, great one, is for them to introduce flag football at the Olympics and Team USA doesn't bring home the gold as an automatic.
So what you're saying, it would be better to send Darnell, because if they lose, you know, you could blame it on them not using NFL players, and then the next Olympics they could bring in NFL players, and then to save the day.
Did you miss the point where I said have an open tryout? I'm not saying send Darnell to set. I'm saying have an open tryout. Let my man go head to head.
They're not going to do that.
One on one with the great one, Patrick Mahomes, and let's see what happens.
They're not going to see what happens. They're not going to do that. They're not going to do open tryouts. Come on, Darnell. I mean, have fun while you can. When the Olympics rolls around, I know it's your dream and everything, but there's some other guys who are definitely better than you.
I mean, at regular football,
uh-huh.
I don't know about flag. It's a different sport.
All right.
We have got about 58 minutes till we got to get yo ass to work. So, ladies and gentlemen, let us, in a very abbreviated format, run through this. Tom's cousin, William Brady, in the chant said Mahomes would serve Doucette in a ramekin. That's a wonderful callback, William Brady. That's great work. Comedy at its finest. Ladies and gentlemen, the Water Cooler Cheat Sheet, the top three sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office this morning and start talking sports. Let's dive right in, and very quickly with item number one. The Atlanta Braves had the opportunity to win the series outright against the Philadelphia Phillies yesterday evening, but unfortunately for the Bravos, came up just short, dropping game number two of the three-game set 3-2 last night to the Phillies. You had a pretty decent night from Max Fried. Gave up two runs out of seven innings pitched on just four hits, K'd four through seven as well. Matched up very well with Aaron Nola, one of the two top pitchers for the Phillies. The Bravos chased Nola, taking eight hits out on him and chasing him after just 5.1 innings pitched. The Bravos earned two runs earned against Aaron Nola last night before they forced the Phillies to remove him from the contest. Overall, the Atlanta Braves collected nine hits to the Philadelphia Phillies, five last night, but unfortunately, in the bottom of the ninth, trailing by one with multiple runners on the bag, the Bravos were just unable to get it done. There was a very, very questionable moment late in that game with Orlando Arcia on the dish, runners at second and third, when a very clear ball thrown on an 0-3 pitch, a 3-0 pitch, a very clear ball was ruled a strike. It moved the count to 3-2-1. Arcia would ultimately end up grounding out. So instead of the bases loaded with one out, there were runners on second and third with two outs, and nothing could get done with the baseball to find a tying run in the bottom of the ninth. So Philadelphia takes game two. And the series is now level, one game apiece, with the final rubber match game between these two squads scheduled for this evening at 7:15. Atlanta now 67-59. They are back to a full seven games behind the Philadelphia Phillies, and their lead over the Mets for the third wild card spot has decreased to 1.5 games. Again, game three between Atlanta and Philly tonight at 720. Let's go to item number two. Over to the WNBA for just a minute. Tina Charles has been in the WNBA for a number of years, and now she's got her name in the history books. The Atlanta Dream knocked off Phoenix 72-63 in Georgia last night, their third straight victory since the Olympic break. But it was Tina Charles, 12 points and 17 boards, that made the news. Why? Because Tina Charles now has a career total of 7,941 WNBA points. She surpasses Tina Thompson for the number two all-time scoring leader in the WNBA. She is now the second most successful scorer of all time in the W. There is one name that she still trails. That name, Diana Taurasi, still the all-time WNBA leading scorer with 10,500 points even. And oh, by the way, she is still in the show. Tamika Catchings is now the fourth highest scorer, a few points behind Tina Thompson, who is number three. Dawana Bonner is fifth on the list. Bonner obviously still active in the league as well. 7,327 points, has the opportunity to surpass Tamika Catchings by the end of the year. Tina Charles, now the number two all-time scorer in the W. Let's very quickly go to item number three. Kirk Ferentz is the head coach of the Iowa Hawkeyes. Kirk Ferentz will now be sitting out game number one when said Iowa Hawkeyes host Illinois State in game number one. For instance, the nation's longest tenured FBS coach, having led the Iowa Hawkeyes since 1999. Yesterday, according to media reports, Kirk Ferentz, after an NCAA investigation into the recruiting of quarterback Cade McNamara, caught a one-game suspension for portal recruiting violations. Now, we do not yet know exactly what that violation is, what it is that Kirk Ferentz did to catch this one gamer. And these are the types of things, for those of you that say, you know, I don't have a problem with the portal, but I think there should be guardrails. For those of you that say, I don't have a problem with the portal, but there should be protocols, there should be rules, there should be guidelines. Well, here's your opportunity. Number one, there clearly is, because Kirk Ferentz just caught a one-game suspension and will miss the season opener for Iowa because of it. But number two, this is where I would say to the NCAA, hey, do me a favor. Tell us why. Put it out there. Tell us what he did. Tell us what happened so that we can make sure that coaches who commit portal recruiting violations, just like they commit regular recruiting violations, can be punished, can be hammered, can be knocked down. By the way, McNamara joined the Iowa Hawkeyes December 22nd. After he started for Michigan in 2021, when the team won the Big Ten and reached the college football playoff, sustained a season-ending leg injury in the third game of the 2022 season, transferred to Iowa after that, and apparently getting him there was because Kirk Ferentz did something illegal and will now miss game one of the season. When we come back here in just a minute, let's talk a little bit about college football playoff projections. Which teams might be in, which teams better get in, which teams might be screwed out. We'll talk about that when we come back in a minute. Rob Lonzo and you, the Rob Brown Show, the Fan.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In upstate. The Rob Brown Show back on your radio, rolling through hour number two. Robin the Great One Lonzo with you here on the show this beautiful upstate Thursday morning. NFL preseason action picks back up tonight, the last week of the preseason before we get to week one of the NFL season next weekend. And of course, we get to college football week one next season. College football has the spotlight all to itself coming up on Thursday a.m., well, I guess technically p.m., when the Noles and the Ramblin' Wreck kick off on Saturday morning, ladies and gentlemen, just like that. And then before you know it, September 4th will be here, September 5th, I should say, will be here. That first matchup will take place between the Baltimore Ravens and the Kansas City Chiefs at 8:20 p.m. on the 5th of September. And then it is full speed ahead, a Friday night matchup between the Packers and the Eagles. And on Sunday, everybody else gets underway with the exception of the Jets and the Niners, who have that first Monday night football contest of the season. But we are in college football mode with week zero going on right now. Want to take a look at some playoff projections, some prognostications, if you will. Who are the teams most likely to get the four byes in this college football playoff? Well, I am going to start with your obvious two. I guess I should really say three. Those would be the champions of the ACC, the SEC, the Big Ten, and of course, the highest remaining conference champion. Well, Lonzo and I have spent the last couple of days doing our preseason prognostications for the conferences. Winning the Atlantic Coast Conference, I am going with Clemson to get back to the glory days and capture the conference crown once again. I think Florida State lost too much to be able to get where they are. Lonzo, on the flip side, sticking with the Noles to do it back-to-back seasons. Whoever wins that will get a bye. Out of the SEC, Lonzo selected, correct me if I'm wrong, Georgia to win the conference. Is that correct, Lonzo?
Yes.
Lonzo selected UGA to win the conference. I went a different direction.
No. I picked Texas.
Oh, you picked Texas to win it. You picked them to play Georgia. Is that correct?
Yeah, but I can't remember I think I picked Texas to win it. And yes.
Okay.
So whether I did or not before, I am now Texas to win the SEC.
Well, right now is all that matters. Lonzo selects Texas to win the SEC. I am picking Bama. And then out of the Big Ten, the great one taking the Ohio State University Horse Chestnuts. That's inappropriate. That seems like I shouldn't have said that on the radio. That seems like not okay.
If you would have just kept going, no one would have thought about it. Now I'm like, okay, what is that? Oh, okay. That could be that. Okay.
Yep.
Should have just moved on.
Sure could. Lonzo has selected the Ohio State Horse Chestnuts. Rob Brown selected the Oregon Ducks. There is only one group left to pick here, great one, and that is who earns the final round by the next remaining highest conference champion. Well, there's obviously a ton of conferences out there that it could be from. Could we have a group of five champion that steals it? I am going to say the answer is no. I actually have a team out there that I think is going to take this spot, and I think they are going to take it out of the Big 12. And that is the Utah Utes. They are my fourth team to get a bye. Clemson, Alabama, Oregon, and the Utah Utes. Cam Rising comes back this year. Cam Rising is, of course, entering his 17th season as a college football quarterback this year. Maturity will be no question for Cam Rising. And oh, by the way, Kyle Whittingham, following the Urban Meyer trajectory at Utah, becoming one of the most intriguing and fastest rising coaches in the college football ranks. I very much believe that Kyle Whittingham is likely unless he decides to stay at Utah, likely going to be one of the most sought after coaches for the next big time Power 5 conference job, or I guess I should say Power 2 conference job that comes open. On top of all that, one thing we don't ordinarily think of when it comes to Big 12 football, this team's going to have a stingy defense this year. This team has got a lot of talent on the defensive side of the ball, both homegrown and a handful of portal guys who immediately upgraded some pieces. Lonzo, I don't know if you have a pick for the fourth team to catch a playoff bye, but I am going with the Utah Utes out of the Big 12.
Well, if we're going to have to pick something out, and the Big 12 is the last big conference left, right? I mean, if you after the ACC, I suppose.
No love for the Pac-2.
No love for the Pac-2. So, because I'm looking at the Big 12 teams, and of course, more teams moved into the Big 12 because there's movement all over the place this year. I'm just going to be a homer and go with Cincinnati.
Cincy, says the great one, catching that last bye. Not a bad pick. Honestly, not a bad pick. What I will say is this. Very likely that whoever that next group is going to be pained. Because I don't know that there is room in the top 12 for another one. Unless we have a couple of group 5 teams that go undefeated. And they have a Power 5 win or a Power 2 or 4 or whatever power number we're going with here. Unless they have a top 25 Power 2 or Power 3 win or Power 4 win in there, I don't know if it's going to matter. There's a couple of candidates I think are out there. I think the Boise State Broncos out of the Mountain West are a possibility. I think the UTSA Roadrunners out of the AAC, now that SMU is gone, I think they're the next big ones. Out of the Sun Belt, how about Appy State? Haven't had a losing season in the last decade since joining the Sun Belt in 2014. They have won 95 games, the most of any Group of Five program over that same span. The Liberty Flames out of CUSA have the highest chance of any Group of Five contender to win their conference at 42%, according to ESPN. But while they likely will go undefeated, they have the 134th most difficult ranked schedule in college football based on win percentage, and they do not play a single Power 4 opponent. You've got Miami of Ohio, the Redhawks, out of the Mid-American Conference. They are right there. I don't hate the pick of Cincy, but I think in year one, the Big 12 is going to end up in there. So let's go to the other end of the spectrum. Let's talk about the teams that might just barely miss out. Let's talk about, if I may put it into college basketball terms, let's talk about the first four out. Because I got a list of teams that I started putting together last night, of teams that I think could be the first four or five teams that just miss out on the playoffs. And I started putting this list together last night. Great when I did so, taking into consideration the schedule that these teams are playing, taking into consideration the talent that these teams have, and perhaps most importantly, taking into consideration teams that I think are dark horse threats to win the conference, but will come up just shy, and there may not be room for them. When we come back here in a minute, I'll tell you who they are, and I'll tell you something very interesting. When I put together this list and I started going through these teams, great one, something very interesting happened. The overwhelming majority of teams that I put at the top of this list all came from one conference. The rest came from one other conference. I'll tell you which two conferences I think are going to be the most damaged by the 12-team playoffs, at least in year number one, when we come back on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show rolls on. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob the Great Man Lonzo with you talking college football playoff projections as we get ever closer to the season. Week zero starting up here on Saturday at noon when the Florida State Seminoles and the Georgia Tech Ramblin' Wreck Yellow Jackets get it on in Dublin, Ireland. Been looking forward to this, y'all, for a long, long, long time. Long time. Right now, talking about some of the teams we think will get in, some of the teams we think will miss out. As we have it right now, our four byes as it stands right now. Lonzo has FSU winning the ACC and getting a bye. I have Clemson winning the ACC and getting a bye. Lonzo has Texas winning the SEC and getting the bye. I have Alabama. Lonzo has Ohio State winning the Big Ten. I have the Oregon Ducks in their inaugural season. And for the fourth bye, the next highest remaining conference champion, Lonzo is taking the Cincinnati Bearcats. Rob Brown taking the Utah Utes behind Kyle Whittingham and Cam Rising. Let's go to the other end of the speculation here. Let's go to some teams we think might miss out on the conference football playoff, on the college football playoffs, the teams that are going to be sitting around that 11, 12, 13, 14 mark and could finally end up getting dropped out. I got a couple for you. And when I started putting this list together last night, great one, something very interesting developed. And I will acknowledge that it is something that goes against a narrative that I have discussed on this show many, many times. But as Dave Chappelle said many times, it is very important that we keep it real. So I'm going to keep it real with you for a minute. When I started going through some of the times, some of the teams that I think could just barely miss out on the college football playoffs, Lonzo, the first handful of teams that immediately popped into my brain, based on a combination of who they play, when they play, where they play, et cetera, as well as the other teams that I think will finish around and above them. Four, the first four teams that came into my brain, the first four teams, all SEC squads. Here are the teams that popped into the old noodle when Rob Brown was putting this list together. The first team that came into my brain, the LSU Tigers. I've got the Tigers finishing somewhere around 13 to 15. This is very interesting. Why? Because the LSU Tigers have themselves a very interesting schedule this year. We know they open with USC. That game is out in Las Vegas. They've got South Carolina coming to the house in week three, but then they have a stretch where they've got Ole Miss, the number six preseason ranked team, Arkansas, a team that is even though not a widely recognized one, that's the battle for the boot. That's a bit of a rivalry game, and Sam Pittman will be coaching for his life by this point of the season. Then they're back home to take on the Colts after the trip to Arkansas. Then they've got Alabama. Couple of easier games down the stretch as they go to Florida, but that game in Gainesville, remember, for years, that has also been, or at least the SEC tried to force it as, a rivalry game. That was the cross-divisional rivalry game that stuck on the calendar for both of those teams. And then they end it against Oklahoma, Brent Venables' defense coming to town. LSU has an interesting schedule in that of the teams out of the SEC that I think will be in consideration. I think this is one of the teams that, despite being in one of the better conferences, if not the best conference overall, this is a team whose schedule might hurt them in the long run. This is a team whose strength of schedule might hurt them in the long run, specifically if they lose a couple of the games, let's say Ole Miss and A&M, or A&M and Alabama, or Alabama and Oklahoma. I think this team is finishing likely 9-3 and just outside of the mix. Here's another one. How about the Missouri Tigers? This is a team that people have been doing their best to convince you are going to be in the mix. And I think that there is a chance that they will be. But Mizzou is another team out of the SEC who, if you believe that, and I'll ask Lonzo here in a second if he does, because this year, more than years gone by, I do. I think strength of schedule is going to be a massive factor for a lot of teams that are in this 11, 12, 13 range. Those teams that have maybe two losses and they're right there in the mix. I think strength of schedule this year, and maybe more appropriately than years gone by, is going to be a massive factor in who makes their way into the college football playoffs at the bottom of the list. Mizzou, like LSU, is a team I think could get hurt by theirs. They have three preseason top 25 teams. They are at Texas A&M on October 5th. They are at Alabama on October 26th. And they are at home against Oklahoma the next week, Saturday, November 9th. Outside of that, Murray State, Buffalo, Boston College, Vanderbilt, Massachusetts, Auburn, South Carolina, Mississippi State, and they wrap it up against Arkansas. I don't think the strength of schedule is there for Missouri, and I think they could be left out even if they go 10-2 this season. I think both Missouri and LSU are missing the cut. So before I move on to the next team, great one, I will ask you, do you feel like I do, that four teams that are checking in around that 11, 12, 13 number, strength of schedule will be a factor that is under the microscope by the playoff selection committee more so this year, perhaps, than in years gone by?
Oh, without a doubt. And I think there's going to be probably some bigger teams down there near the bottom. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out.
Out of two. Out of two. In fact, this is one of the things that I think, and this I do think, this will be good for college football down the line. And I think this will be good for college football down the line because I think now, maybe more so than in years gone by, I think there is now a motivation for teams to schedule a good out-of-conference game, right? I think that, so for instance, LSU and Mizzou, conference schedules, kind of about the same, right? But remember, LSU's got that matchup against USC to open the year. If LSU goes out to Las Vegas, Nevada, and they knock off USC, even though most of us believe, I think, that USC is once again a bit overrated and need to prove themselves before we buy into the hype wagon again. If LSU wins that game over USC, Mizzou doesn't have an out-of-conference matchup that can level that out. That would put LSU, in my opinion, that would put LSU ahead of Missouri in these rankings, which means if these two teams are sitting there at both at 10-2 and 12-13, all of the sudden, I think that LSU gets the nod. I think this could, down the line, lead to college football programs being a little bit more invested in scheduling one, maybe two good out-of-conference games, knowing that even if they take an L, it bumps up that strength of schedule just a little bit. Here's another team I think is going to be right on the verge. I like this team a lot. I actually think this team has a very good chance of getting in. It is a team that we mentioned by name, or at least I did yesterday on the show, because I think behind Nico Amoliva and Squirrel White, I think the Tennessee Volunteers have given themselves a chance. And oh, by the way, they do have one of those out-of-conference games. They've got NC State coming to the house in week two, September 7th, when they get the when they get it on with the Wolfpack. Tennessee has four preseason AP Top 25 matchups on the books. They do have number 24 NC State, as mentioned. They are also at Oklahoma, back home against Alabama. They've also got Georgia on the schedule, the number one ranked team in the United States on November 16th. I think Alabama's beating Tennessee. I think Georgia is beating Tennessee. That's another 10-2 bubble team. Here's the thing. I think because of that game against NC State, which I do think that they will win, because of that game with NC State, I would slot Tennessee if these teams are all jumbled up at the bottom of the top 12 list. I would slot Tennessee, assuming they're all 10-2, behind LSU and ahead of Missouri. And then there's Oklahoma. This is another team that I find very interesting this year. The Boomer Sooners schedule for their first year in the SEC. They have got six AP top 25 teams on it. This is one of the teams that I think, while they do not have the out of conference big time matchup like LSU does and like Tennessee does, they have a dramatically more difficult in conference schedule this year. They've got number 15 Tennessee, number 4 Texas in the continued Red River rivalry, number 6 Ole Miss. That game is on the road. Then they have at number 11 Mizzou and at number 13 LSU. I think Oklahoma is likely going to finish this season probably closer to 8-4 or 9-3 than they are 10-2. And obviously, all of the all these teams we're talking about all have a direct impact on each other, right? Tennessee and Oklahoma play, Mizzou and Oklahoma play. So it's not likely that all of them will be jumbled up, but this is another team that I think if Brent Venables takes the step up this year, that many people think that Brent Venables will take the step up this year, this is another team that I think could very well find themselves at that 10-2, 9-3 level. But it may be just not enough to get in. Let's run through a couple more before we get to the break, because I know we're right up on it. How about Michigan? The Michigan Wolverines, the defending national champions. I don't think they're going back. 28% of their offensive production from last year returning, all the rest of it gone. 72% of their offensive yards, Blake Corum, J.J. McCarthy, gone. They've got Texas on the schedule. They've got Oregon on the schedule. They've got Ohio State on the schedule. They've got, well, I don't think they are a big threat because, well, I won't until they actually win one. They've got Penn State on. No, actually, they don't. They don't have Penn State on the schedule that year. This is right. This is why Penn State has a bit of an advantage. They don't have Michigan this year, but with Texas coming to town out of conference, I think this team's probably at best looking at 9-3. And oh, by the way, there's a bit of a trap game sitting between them and Ohio State with Washington. And I do think Washington is down, but not out at this point. I don't think Michigan's going. Oklahoma State, Mike Gundy. The Cowboys have had a winning record in each of the past 18 seasons, the third longest active streak in the FBS, but they've yet to reach the playoffs. I don't think it's going to be different this year, despite the fact that I love Alan Bowman, one of the most underappreciated quarterbacks in college football this year. Defensively, Jim Knowles left for Ohio State, and the defense has dropped off dramatically. The Cowboys, out of the Big 12, I think that's a 9-3 team that's not going to get in this year as well. So there's some of the teams I think could just barely get left out of the college football playoffs. Any you like, any you don't like, hit us up on the text line, 71307, 71307. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N, and we'll read them on the air. 71307 is the text line. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N, and we will read them on the air this morning. So as we've got a lot that we need to get through throughout the course of the show. When we come back here in just a moment from right now, let's get some NFL discussion here as we get set for the final week of the NFL's preseason, which starts up this evening. Cincinnati in the mix, the Bears and Chiefs in the mix. Anthony Richardson, is he a go or not? We'll break all that down next after Lonzo soothes you with the stylings of this sports flash.
Like a lozenge. The Atlanta Braves dropped the second in a three-game set to Philadelphia Phillies, 3-2, bringing the series even at a game apiece. Max Fried gave up two runs on four hits in seven innings. The Braves collected nine hits but couldn't find the win despite multiple base runners in the bottom of the ninth. Philadelphia's lead in the East is now back to seven games, and Atlanta is a game and a half up on the Mets for the final wild card spot. The Denver Broncos have named former Oregon Duck Bo Nix their starting quarterback, making him the first signal caller to start as a rookie since John Elway in 1983. Nix is also the fifth oldest rookie to start a game at 24 years old. Nix was 8 of 9 for 80 yards and a touchdown in Denver in their last preseason game. Tune in tomorrow night, 7 p.m., as the Burns Rebels get the high school football season started as they head to T.L. Hanna to take on the Yellow Jackets. It's Burns versus T.L. Hanna tomorrow night at 7.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.